The first truth as we started our series in 1 Peter was this one. As we looked at some truths about God and some truths about us, it was simply, I do not belong here, I'm a citizen of heaven. I do not belong here, nothing in this world has a grip on me, I am a citizen of heaven. We went on from there and we talked about the fact that God works everything out for His good purposes. He's in charge of everything. He brings everything together under His control. God is in charge of everything. And then we learned that every part of my journey in this life has an eternal purpose. Because I'm not a citizen of this world, I'm a citizen of heaven, I live for eternity, not for things that are temporary. And because God is in charge of everything, there are no accidents. Everything that happens in this life, everything that I am a part of, has an eternal purpose. And I'm a part of God's big story. Now, people often talk about how God is a part of their lives. You know, their relationship with God is an important part of who I am. Well, you know what? Even in saying that, God is too small. God is not part of our lives. We're a part of His story. We're a part of what He is doing. And that's an important distinction to make. The next truth that we explored. God has placed His Spirit within me to help me live as a citizen of heaven instead of as a citizen of this world. And He helps me to bring the kingdom of heaven into contact with people who need to join it. And that was really what that clip was all about. As those people were shaped by God to be different, that difference had influence. It brought the kingdom of God into the lives of people who hadn't yet experienced Him. And that in turn changed their lives. That's true for us as well. In 1 Peter, it describes it in verse 2 as the sanctification by the Spirit. We talked about the fact that God is changing us bit by bit by bit to be more like Jesus and to be the fragrance of Jesus in the world, to bring Jesus into the experience of others. The next truth is a truth about God. And this is what we covered as Chris spoke to us just a couple of weeks ago, where it talked about the fact that we have been chosen through the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by His blood. This one refers to the fact that we've been sprinkled by His blood. Jesus, in Jesus, God has paid the price that purchased my salvation. He's carried the punishment for my sin, past, present, and future. And we've just reflected on that, the grace of God in Jesus. He is the one who has brought me into His family, not of anything that I've done, purely by what Jesus has done for us. And because of that, and in view of that, in gratitude for what Jesus has done for me and realizing the impact of my sin upon Him, that it was what sent Him to the cross, I turn away from my sin and choose to live in obedience to Him. Now, there's a summary of the Christian life. And if we were going to, in a sense, say, okay, well, what does all that mean together? If we take a month's worth of study in those opening verses, how would we summarize what that means for us? This is how I've phrased it. Instead of seeking to protect ourselves or pursue our own blessing, we now trust God for His protection and blessing and pursue obedience to Him instead. I'm going to leave that on the screen because it's going to be the central reality that we talk about today as we move on in our passage. Instead of seeking to protect ourselves, remember the guys that Peter wrote to are either about to go through real persecution or they're already experiencing it. As they experience that in the towns that they're situated in throughout the region that he's writing to. Some of those places are already experiencing hardship. For some of them, it's going to be in the next year or two. For some of them, it's 40 years down the track. But in all of these regions, it's going to come. And they're all going to be faced with the thing of what do we do in the face of severe persecution? Well, instead of trying to protect ourselves, Peter says, trust in God. And it's the same in our lives as well. Instead of seeking to protect ourselves from whatever it is, ridicule or financial hardship or whatever it is that we're afraid of, instead of trying to protect ourselves from that, we trust God. And instead of pursuing our own blessing, where each of these people that Peter wrote to, they might have been tempted to go and sample things that the rest of the world said was good. Now, I might participate in that pagan orgy. I might pursue financial gain regardless of what I need to do in order to achieve it. They may have been tempted to pursue their own blessing. And Peter, as a part of what he writes about in this letter and what he talks about in these opening verses, is saying, hey, no, that's not for you. Trust God with everything. And instead of pursuing your own blessing, instead of pursuing your own desires, pursue obedience to Jesus Christ. That's where the rubber hits the road for us. And his next words are really significant. With this in mind, with the fact that we are not seeking to protect ourselves, with the fact that we're not pursuing our own blessing independent of God, but rather trusting in him and pursuing obedience, what can we expect? Grace and peace, he prays, be yours in abundance. May grace and peace be yours in abundance. That's a great prayer to pray for anybody. Have you experienced what that's like? Have you experienced grace and peace in abundance even when life is hard? I hope so. And as we grapple with these truths still further today, I trust that we'll be able to experience that even more in our daily walk. But I've got to warn you about this. Grace and peace will never be yours in abundance. As long as you try to protect yourself and as long as you seek to pursue your own blessing, it'll never be yours in abundance. If you try to protect yourself from ridicule, you know how when you think you ought to say something but don't because you know that somebody's going to take the mickey out of you or somebody's going to go, ah, you know, you religious nutter or whatever. And if you try to protect yourself from ridicule, you'll never be free to live in obedience to Christ and experience his blessing. If you try to protect yourself from failure, God's calling you to do something but it's risky. No, I've got to protect myself from that. Well, if that's your attitude, that you need to protect yourself from failure, you'll never obey Christ and you'll never experience his blessing. If you try to protect yourself from financial hardship and say, oh, God's calling me to do something, but oh, that's going to require resources. That's going to prevent me from pursuing other employment or whatever the case might be. Well, if you're trying to protect yourself, you're not going to obey Christ and experience his blessing. These are significant things. But not only that, if we try to protect ourselves from any of these things, and the list just goes on and on and on, we'll also never be free from worry, and we'll never be free from fear, because we'll always be relying on ourselves to protect us. We'll also always be looking out for ourselves. We'll never be able to release that. If we want to experience grace and peace in abundance, we've got to learn to stop trying to protect ourselves. And if we want to experience grace and peace in abundance, we've also got to learn to stop trying to pursue our own blessing. If you try to pursue the blessing of great relationships, for example, wonderful experience, good health, financial prosperity, and anything else independently of God, the results will never satisfy. You'll never get to that point where you say, I've achieved that and it feels good. You'll always keep striving and you'll never feel like you get there. Or you could experience some measure of success and then become proud of your own efforts in doing so. More likely, you'll experience a measure of disappointment and just become increasingly frustrated. And like so many, you'll blame God for not giving you what it is that you're chasing quite independently of his will. You might achieve prosperity even, but then you could find you'll struggle with your relationships. You might achieve great relationships, but then struggle with your health. Or you might be on the way to achieving all the things that you want and life's going great and then some crisis will knock you for six and it'll take it all away. No matter how hard any of us work, we will never obtain for ourselves the abundant grace and peace that God has chosen to give us. Today I'm going to share a little bit of my own story and how this has played out in the reality of my life. So not that you'll get to know me better, although you will as a part of it, but as I talk about part of my story, it'll probably have some similarities to your own story, and you'll be able to see how these truths apply in your situation as well. You remember that the Bible tells us that no temptation has seized us except that which is common. The things that we go through, other people go through them as well. That's one of the really important reasons why we're supposed to share with each other, because our struggles are so similar. And we can learn from each other and be encouraged by each other. Well, I'm going to tell you about some of my journey today, and I hope it's of help to you in bringing these scriptures to light as we've reflected on those principles. Well, our family, as I've already told you before, we would love to own a house. You know, we've searched the internet looking at properties. You go through the bank mortgage calculators and you look at your budget and you do all that stuff because you'd really love to own your own home. Anyone ever been in that position so far in life? Yeah, lots of you have, right? So you know what that feels like. Is there anything wrong with really desiring to own your own home? No, of course not. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But is there anything wrong with pursuing that dream independently of God as a Christian? Yes, the answer's got to be yes. Because as this says, as we've looked about how Peter opens his letter and he talks about the fact that we've been chosen for obedience, if anything gets in the way of obedience to Jesus Christ, then it's not what we were called for. And it says here, instead of seeking to protect ourselves or pursue our own blessing, be it in the shape of a house or anything else, We now trust God for His protection and His provision. And so we rest in Him. And instead of pursuing those things independently of Him, we just obey Him in whatever He calls us to do. So if I was to indulge that desire for a house and work toward that independent of what God wanted for me to do, it would actually be a very dangerous thing for me. I want to tell you three reasons why that is so. One, because we've been purchased by the death of Christ on our behalf. That's what Chris was sharing with us about a couple of weeks ago. We're not our own. We've been bought at a price. Jesus paid an extreme price for our salvation. And as part of that transaction, we now belong to Him. He's the right to tell us where and how we ought to live. If we pursue our own blessing in terms of a house of our own or anything else, we're not allowing Him to direct us. And Jesus then becomes Lord in name, but not in reality. Now, that's not what I want to experience. I want Jesus to be Lord in truth, not just as a label. And so for me then to pursue anything, regardless of what He wants for me, would actually to make my Christian life hypocritical. And so I don't want to do that. That's the first thing that I need to reflect on. Secondly, because we can trust in the goodness of God, as this principle talks about, if God directs us to buy a house, if that's something that's in His good plan for us, and so as we obediently follow Him, that's just a path that we go down, we can trust that He's also in charge of providing for it. It's not up to me to make it happen, and trust me, I've done a lot of sums and tried to wrangle the figures and so on, looked at all the suburbs, okay, where's affordable, but really, it's not up to me to make it happen. If God directs us along those lines, He will provide the resources, He will provide the right property, yeah, and He will make it as part of His good purpose for our family. It will happen at the right time, and it'll be a blessing. If I try to push ahead in my resources and in my strength and in my timing, well, the chances are it's not going to be a blessing at all. In fact, it will just be a burden for us that we've taken on those commitments. So that's the second thing I need to be mindful of, that if I pursue it outside of God, I'm going to miss out on the blessing of what He wanted to do for me. And thirdly, if we pursue owning a house outside of God's will, then we are effectively controlled by that mortgage, that debt, instead of being controlled by God. And if in His good plan He had intended for us to go to another place for a period of time, or to use our resources in a different direction, and we've gone and locked them up in a mortgage, well, that we're now getting in the way of what God wanted to achieve through our lives. And we've made something else Lord rather than Him. If we're serious about wanting to be influential for God's kingdom by doing the good works that God prepared in advance for us to do, then we can't saddle ourselves with things outside of what He wanted us to do. As Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. Either Jesus is Lord and He's directing your life and you're doing what He wants you to do, or you're pursuing this other stuff. You can't do both. You can't say, well, God's Lord here, but I really want this, and they're both going to work. No, it doesn't. He's either Lord or He's not. And so we have to decide who it is that has the authority in our life. Now, I don't mind working hard in life. I just don't want to work hard at the wrong things. I want to work hard at the things Jesus has called me to do. Because I know not only will that be a blessing to me, it'll lead to eternal influence and eternal blessing. So mortgages and the whole house ownership thing, is that in any way wrong or inferior? No way. And in fact, for most of us, that's been God's good plan for us. And the great thing about that is that as we've gone down that pathway, as God has led you, many of you in that direction, not only has it been God's plan for your family, but He's woven every other part of your life into that. For example, the job that you have in order to pay that mortgage, that's just not about raising money. That's also about the people you work with and the work you actually do and the impact that that has. It's all part of God's good plan for you. He's been tying it all together. So if that was God's plan for you, praise God. It's a good plan. If it's not God's plan for you, don't pursue it because it won't be good. And that's the situation that I find myself in at the moment. Romans 14:23 says, everything that does not come from faith is sin. So if there's anything that you pursue, a blessing for yourself, that you're pursuing and you're not sure that God is okay with that, you're not sure that God wants that for you, the advice of Scripture is don't do that. Now you may have people putting the pressure on, hey, you really need to do this. Don't do that unless God has given you the okay, that you've got the sense, yes, I'm obeying God by doing this. If it's something your own heart yearns after, don't do it unless you sense this is what God is asking you to do. And if you sense that God is asking you to do something, you can do it with confidence because the pressure's not on you anymore. It's God's plan, it's God's will. You can trust in His goodness. That's a completely different way of living. And that's where grace and peace are ours in abundance. I've heard the stories of young people who have wanted to train for ministry or to go overseas to serve God, and they've been often put under tremendous pressure, often even by Christian family and friends who have said, well, that's great, that sounds excellent, very noble, well done, but first, before you do that, get yourself set up, get some resources behind you so that you've got something to fall back on. And my immediate reaction is, what, God isn't enough? You know, if God's called you to do something, who else do you need to fall back on? You think a bank account or a property back in Australia is going to do it for you? No. What kind of advice is that? But yet how often have we seen that happen where even well-meaning Christians are giving practical advice, this is how you ought to look after yourself, so then you'll be able to serve God and you'll know that you still looked after yourself. No, God's the one who looks after us. We trust Him for His provision and His protection and we obey Him. That's the Christian life. That's the calling and that's the first two verses of this letter. Now I have to make an admission. A little while ago, I allowed myself to drift into the sin of envy. Who's ever been there? Yeah, all right. Yes, good company. It's not a good sin, is it? And as I was driving around, I look at houses and I think, oh, gee, I'd love to have a house like that. And Carolyn and my tastes are very different, so she'd go, that's horrible, too much cleaning, or look at the size of the windows on that place. No, and so she would actually offer a different opinion on what would be suitable. But regardless, you look at these things, oh, I wish I could have that. Again, nothing wrong with that. But when it sort of grows and becomes an issue of grumbling against God, that's when it becomes an issue. When it becomes too much of a fixation, where you're starting to seek, you know, maybe there's a way we can make this happen. You know, maybe, oh, if I just did more outside work, if Carolyn was able to do this, and maybe we could make it happen. And when you start trying to go down that track independently of, hey, God, what do you want us to do? That's when you've got a problem. Well, I even looked around and you think of people, even in your church family, who have homes and you go, oh, I'd love one like so-and-so. Or, oh, gee, if we were only like these people. So there's that tinge of jealousy that can easily build up. And I even looked back over the course of my married life and when Carolyn and I got married, before you were born, no, it wasn't really BT, but while you were still in school, it was before the boom. You remember the boom, the real estate, whoosh, up it went. And you sort of look back and you go, oh, if we'd only done something back then. You know, if only we'd been smarter, if only we'd been more thrifty, if only we'd made different decisions. And then you go, what do you mean, like the decision to go train for ministry? Or the decision to go work in a part-time ministry? Were they wrong? Of course not. But you start to question some of these things because you've got your heart set on the wrong thing. So I was at risk of becoming like the Israelites who grumbled against God. And He'd rescued them from Egypt. He'd rescued them from slavery. And sometimes we read about their grumbling and we go, what are you guys doing? I mean, God's just brought you out of centuries of slavery and He's got you on the way to the promised land, which is going to be fantastic, and you're grumbling? But yet, very easily we fall into that when we start pursuing our own blessing, when we get our eyes fixed on stuff that's not in God's will for us necessarily. It might be at some point, but we start chasing things independently of God. Envy's not a smart sin. Now, no sin is smart, by the way, but envy is a particularly dumb sin because usually the things that we envy are not all that we thought them to be. It's that whole grass is greener on the other side. And often the people we think have it all, they're not necessarily that happy. But regardless, often the people we are jealous of are not as happy as we suppose, and regardless of whether they are or not isn't the point. Envy destroys our relationships with those people. You know, if I've got people that I'm in a relationship, oh, I wish I had a house like so-and-so, you know what happens? There's this bitterness that grows up where it's unfair. God hasn't been fair. They've got what I want, and I deserve it just as much. And so that corrupts the relationship. And so no longer can I rejoice with good things that happen to them. Oh, you got a raise at work? Yeah, praise God, that's fantastic. Oh yeah, more money, like you need it. Yeah. And this sort of bitterness creeps into relationships. And so we then start rejoicing when things go badly for them because now they'll know what we feel like. Yeah. And when good things happen to them, we feel ripped off. The complete opposite of what love does and the complete opposite of what the Bible tells us to do. That's what envy does to our relationships. It causes us to secretly rejoice at their misfortune, and sometimes it even provokes us to go to that extra step of wanting to cause misfortune. So, conversations going on and some people get mentioned, and we'll actually sow seeds of, yeah, but, you know, they never give money to the needy. They're always, you know, using it for themselves. You know, we'll say little things because there's a bitterness that's growing up. It's poison, it's awful, it's ugly. And we allow that to be there because we've fixed our attention on the wrong thing. We've set our desires on things that have become idols. God gave the command, do not covet, for very good reason. But, you know, the biggest problem with envy is that it disrespects God. Because it says to God, you are playing favourites. We're all your children, but you've given them things that I want and you haven't given them to me. Have you ever experienced that in your nuclear families where kids have felt that way? Yeah. Not a good feeling, is it? And as a parent, it's horrible when you hear that your kids have felt that way. No, I would never favour you guys. But sometimes that's how we feel about God, and it's disrespectful to God. God is our provider. And he's in charge of everything, and he is good, and he wants to give us abundant blessing. It just doesn't always take the shape that our foolish hearts pursue. And so to feel resentful to God is actually being disrespectful to him. As I reflected on the housing issue, I realised that in all honesty, I wouldn't swap what God's done in our lives for something else, like a house and a piece of land. Wouldn't swap it. You know, that would be a great blessing, and I certainly wouldn't refuse it, but I wouldn't swap that for what God has given us. You know, the wonderful experiences we've had over the 13 years of married life and the way that we've seen God prove himself when he's come through for us when we didn't have the resources ourselves and all these things that God's done, wouldn't swap it. And so fixing up my perspective has been very helpful. And as I began to reflect on these things, my envy was replaced by thanksgiving because I realised that God really has been gracious to us. We've lacked for nothing at any stage of our lives following Jesus. We've really lacked for nothing. And we've been given blessings in this life and in the next that we don't deserve. To be frank, we just haven't deserved them, but God has given them to us anyway. Grace and peace have been ours in abundance. I wonder if there's an area of your life where that's been a struggle, where there's things that you've wanted for yourself and God hasn't chosen to give them to you, and so there's been an envy or a dissatisfaction that's raised up for you. And there might be an area of your life that's not yet submitted to the Lordship of Christ, where you're not really trusting God. You're wanting to achieve it on your own. I want to give you the warning that you'll never experience grace and peace that way. The grace and peace in abundance that Peter writes about here. It's only a pathway to dissatisfaction and envy and all those horrible things. I've spoken today about just one area of my family's life, and I could talk about many others. The pursuit of popularity, the pursuit of respect, all things that would threaten to undermine my wholehearted obedience to Christ. But I don't want those things to characterize my life. I don't want to pursue protection of myself so that I don't get rejected or ridiculed, and so therefore don't say what needs to be said. And I'm sure you don't want that for yourself either. So the question is, what do you need to hand over to him? Now, we looked at the story of Kim, and a lot of her friends were experimenting and pursuing their own desires in uni because you're allowed to do that. You know, we go off to college, you get free rein. But yet in that situation, she remained obedient to Christ. And her life made an impact on Lisa. And Lisa, in her workplace, befriended the guy that nobody wanted to be friends with. I mean, why would you? He was embittered. That's toxic in friendships. Yet she befriended him, and she became a shining light in his life. She brought him to church. And as Thomas's life was changed, he then went and shared his story publicly. Was that a bit nerve-wracking? Probably. Yet he did it because God provoked him and prepared him in order to do that. And his story made a difference to James. And did James have lots of time to catch up on with his family? Look, sounds like he was a real mess of a husband and father. Should he have just invested in them? Well, he did, but he also invested in young men. He made the decision to be influential. He could have been pursuing all sorts of things, but he pursued influence, and he made a difference in the life of Nate. That's the story, and that's the journey of discipleship. As BT talked about last week, that's the passing on of the baton, running alongside people and sharing your faith so that they can pick it up and run with it. And that's what we want to be about. But if there are things that provoke our hearts to envy, if we're burdened by worry, if we're corrupted by bitterness, because we're pursuing blessing, because we're trying to protect ourselves from unpleasant consequences, it's going to hold us back from that type of discipleship. It's time to hand those things over. I've spoken with quite a few people in the last few weeks who have been grappling with these very issues, where as they've looked back on their lives, they've identified that there's been things that they've tried to protect themselves from for year after year after year, trying to protect themselves from being rejected by significant people around them, tried to protect themselves from financial hardship, tried to protect themselves from ridicule and rejection. And as we've talked about that, it's amazing the freedom that comes when you finally hand those things over to God and say, you know what, I don't need to work so hard at protecting myself. It doesn't mean that God is not going to allow me to go through some tough stuff, because God has a way of bringing us through tough experiences. What it means is that we can release that to Him and trust Him to do that work. It's one of the wonderful things that Jesus said was, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Most of us know what that's like. You know, we're trying to buy a house and we're trying to work it out and we're just, how am I going to do this? Or we're trying to protect ourselves from rejection by our friends, whatever it might be. This is, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. We can release it. We don't have to worry about it. Trust God and pursue obedience instead. One thing in common with the stories of the people I've spoken to is that handing it over to God, as much as it sounds like a releasing and a freeing thing to do, yes, I don't want this anymore, in actual fact, it's a hard thing to hand it over. It's a very difficult thing to hand it over. If you've been terrified of rejection your whole life, then handing it over to God is rarely easy. If you've been seeking security and material possessions, then it's a hard thing just to stop doing that and to not care. If you've been chasing recognition from others because you want to feel okay about yourself and you need others to tell you you're okay, if that's what you've been pursuing, that's a hard thing just to not worry about anymore. Handing these things over is not always easy. If you've been trapped in a guilty obsession with lustful thoughts or any kind of addiction, those thoughts don't just stop at the flick of a switch. It's beyond us to do that. And that's why we're taking our time meditating on the truths that are contained in the first two verses of 1 Peter. We need to apply them to our lives. What does it mean to experience the sanctification of the Spirit, whereby God's power, He comes in and takes these things from us, helps us to grow beyond them? The Holy Spirit does want to do a work in us today, if we will allow Him. And sometimes he does almost flick a switch for us, and when we make that decision to hand something over to Him, sometimes He just says, right, that's dealt with. You know, and I've seen that happen in a variety of different forms. I've seen people with physical addictions, you know, addicted to substances like alcohol and nicotine and so on, where they've handed it over to God and bang, it's gone. Whoa. And I've seen cases where He hasn't done it that way, and it's been a long journey of overcoming these things. And in the journey, important lessons are learned. You know, it's a great release when God does it instantaneously. It's a huge encouragement. But it's also a wonderful blessing when He teaches us bit by bit through the struggle of allowing Him to do that. Now, I don't know what you're struggling with in your life, where you're pursuing your own protection, where you're pursuing your own blessing. It might be that you can hand it over to God today and it'll be done, and it will no longer threaten to control you. You'll be free to obey Christ and experience all the blessings that He wants to pour into your life. Or it may be that you'll hand it over to Jesus today, and then you'll have to do it tomorrow, and the day after, and the day after. And bit by bit, He will make that an easier decision for you. And when you lapse, He'll help you to get up again. I suspect that it'll be a mixture of both. But grace and peace will be ours in abundance as we trust God, not pursuing our own protection or blessing, but trust God and pursue obedience to Christ instead. You know, you don't have to be perfect. You know, we don't need to pretend as Christians that, okay, God saved us, now we're spot on. We always do what is right. We know that that's not true by experience, and we're reminded of it in God's Word, where it says it's the sanctification of the Spirit. It's the bit by bit changing us to be more like Jesus. So we can expect that we're going to have struggles, but we're going to be growing. One of the great things we get to do as a church family is participate in that growth with each other. You know, to pray for each other in the midst of the struggles, to encourage each other when we see signs of growth, to learn from each other. When we hold ourselves back from each other, pretending that we're already there, all we do is Satan's work for him, because he gets to pick us off one by one and keep us locked in struggle instead of us doing the work of God through the strength of His Holy Spirit and encouraging each other. Hebrews chapter 10 reminds us that we need to not forsake getting together, but to encourage each other daily and spur one another on toward love and good deeds, to obedience to Christ. We need to do that for each other. And today is an opportunity. So I want to invite you today. There's some response forms in the baskets. If you want to pick those up and pass them along, I'm going to give you a couple of different opportunities. The first is, if you want prayer today, there might be something. It probably isn't for you the desire for a house. It might be the desire for a partner. It might be the desire for a better relationship with a partner. It might be a desire for some other financial blessing or some other relationship blessing or some health blessing, whatever it might be. There might be something that you're trying to achieve for yourself and you're realizing that it's become an idol. It's actually become more important to you than simply obeying Jesus. And you know from God's word that if you pursue that, it's just going to shipwreck your life. It's going to get in the way of abundant grace and peace. And it's going to get in the way of you doing what the people in our clip did, being an influence of Jesus Christ. Now, I've often spoken about my mate in uni, and I remember him saying, the thing that amazes me about you Christians is I've got all these people of different religions trying to ram it down my throat. You guys never seem to want to talk about it. Why? Because most of the Christians he'd met were more concerned about their own popularity, more concerned about their own acceptance than being a disciple of Jesus and making disciples of Jesus. That event will always stick in my mind, and I hope it always does, because it reminds me of that tendency in myself. But let's not be like that. Let's be like that college student we saw in the clip who shared her life and her faith as God does His work. So if you'd like to come and pray with somebody for the courage to follow through on that decision in your life, we'll do that today. Or if you'd like to write on the slip that you would like us to pray for you midweek, we will happily do that. If you want to let us know the issue, we will pray for you. And if you've got any other prayer point, write that down as well. Or if you'd like to be a part of a group that gets together as a prayer triplet or a small group where you can talk about life and talk about how obedience looks like in your situation as you reflect on God's word together, if you'd like to be a part of an intimate group that can support each other in the journey, we will make sure that happens for you as well. But what we don't want is for people to go away from here not feeling supported in the journey of discipleship, still struggling, trying to protect themselves, still trying to pursue your own blessings, and being resigned to a life of frustration that brings with it. No, pursue obedience to Christ, and you will be an influence, and you will experience grace and peace from Him. I'm going to bow in prayer, and as I do that, you can bow your head and pray with me, but if you'd like to take advantage of that time to just come and sit down the front, then after we wrap up, I'll just come and sit with you, and others may as well, and we'll just pray. And we'll be able to have that privilege of doing that together before we go and have some supper together. So encourage you, if God's speaking to you through His Holy Spirit, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He provokes us. And if you're feeling that right now, come and do that. And if you want to write those things down on the response cards, the box is out in the foyer. Just dump it in there and we will make sure we follow up with you. Let's pray.